This is Beth Smith, and I'm up at Jade Farrow's this morning at 1347 G Street to talk to her about her life in Salida. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Beth.
What would you like to tell us about your life in Salida?
Well, as you just heard, my name is Jane Antoinette Provenza Ferraro, and I was born in Salida on January 31st, 1924.
Were you born in the hospital?
No, I was born at home, but I think the attending physician was Dr. A.J. Bender. That's the father of Catherine Kerberry, and he was a long-time physician here. Of course, I don't remember being born, but I was...
You were there.
I was there. And I was born at home on 231 East 5th. It's a little terrace on East 5th. I don't have much recollection of my childhood. My dad died when I was four. And it's really surprising. Mother always admired our little house on 5th and G, 146 West 5th, and they had hoped to buy it. At that time, it wasn't for sale. Then after Daddy died, Mother had quite a hard time working. At that time, women weren't in the workforce so much. But somehow she managed, and that house came up for sale, and by golly, she got it. So that's really where I was raised and where I have my best memories. A lovely little house. I guess you know I'm Beth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you want my father's name?
Beth.
My dad was Federico Frederick Provenzano, and he was born on February 12th, 1886, in the region of Calabria in Plato, Italy. That's at the boot of Italy. And I think he migrated to this country at the age of 14. I'm not real clear on that, but somehow he ended up in Pennsylvania. And then a friend of his was here in Salida, and he came to Salida, and the both of them were tailors. So they were in business together for a while in the tailor shop. And surprisingly enough, the partner was Bob Burrow's dad, my husband's dad. But they were together for a long time. Then his brother, who also was a tailor, Fred's brother, came a little bit later.
What was his name?
His name was Jim Provenzano. Settimo is the Italian. And they were in business then for a while together. But Settimo moved to Florence, and he established a clothing and a tailoring shop there, whereas my dad stayed here and was in the business for many years. And it's on Lower F Street, which is where most of the tailor shops were. At that time, I think there were one, two, three, four, about five tailor shops in town. But, of course, it was a railroad town, and all the railroaders came in and ordered their suits. Surprisingly enough, the old pictures show big bolts of woolen materials. It was quite an interesting thing as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And back to Mother now. She was born in Lake City, and her name was Mary Irene Naples. Her maiden name was Naples and Provenza. My dad shortened the name Provenzano to Provenza for business reasons, thinking maybe it'd be easier to pronounce. But I just love the name Provenzano. I think it flows so nicely. And she was born on August 5th, 1897. I have to tell you a little story about that. I went over to Lake City, maybe 3 years ago, to look up records of the family because they lived there. And I was looking through records and I came across the marriage certificate of my grandma and grandpa. And it said 1896. And I had a friend with me and my mouth fell open. I said, that can't be. Mother was born in 1886. Well, this friend got the biggest kick out of it. She had to think, well, what was your grandma doing? And I came home and I was very upset. And Stan said, Jane, Mother was born in 1897 in Lake City. But she was a very strong, delicate woman. I say delicate because she had a peace about her that very few people have.
And you're talking about your mother.
My mother. Mm-hmm, my mother. But would you like to know more about my grandparents?
If you'd like to. What did they do?
Pietro Naples came from Italy. And he...
Whereabouts in Italy?
I'm going to have to look that up. San Pietro, I think. Uh-huh. And my grandmother came from the same vicinity. That's in Calabria also, I think. And somehow he ended up in Lake City as a miner. And three of his children were born there. There were five in Mother's family. And Teresa Naples came, I guess, a bit afterwards. And they were married in Lake City. So that's where they resided for a long time until he became ill with miners' consumption, they called it at that time. Came down here and started a store on F Street. I think it was sort of a bar and a grocery and combined store. Well, he only lived to the age of 42, and he died of miner's consumption. So that left my grandmother a widow, and at that time, no jobs were available for women. So they had a bit of a struggle, but with Mother's help and her brother's help, they managed to survive and support the family. And Mother was only 11 at the time, but she had to quit school. But she was a very brilliant woman. I'm surprised at their education at the age of 11.
What did she do?
My mother. All right. Mother worked in many projects. At that time, they had a WPA project, and she was the head of the cannery, and then she worked at the library as a bookbinder. And later, she worked at a dress shop, and just various jobs. And there was a variety store called Lenore Store, and she worked there for a long time.
Don't forget lawyers.
And, oh, I'll tell you, Beth, I worked, I'm speaking of myself now, I worked at Lawler, which is now Lawler's Drugstore. It was, prior to that, Alexander's Drugstore, and then Long's Drugstore. I worked there for 6 years. And Mother at that time was working at the bakery, and she and I would walk to work together. And Mr. Long, who had bought the store from Alexander's, depended on me a great deal. I did a lot of the book work and the buying and the pricing and so forth, and I was pretty cocky then. I said, when I was going to get married, I just can't work anymore because my husband doesn't want me to work. Oh, he said, I hate to lose you, and this and that and the other. So one day he said, well, I found somebody a lot better than you. And I said, oh, you could never find anybody better than me. So one day, Mother and I were walking to work, and she walked into the drugstore with me. And Mr. Long said, this is your replacement. So what can I say? But I had some great experiences in that drugstore, just as Mother did. And she worked there for 35 years. till she was 85. She was a pretty stout woman as far as her work ethics. Very strict with Stan and I. She raised us. Between the Catholic school and mother, we didn't have a chance of not being absolutely perfect. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant about this interview. We have to be perfect always. But she was quite a woman. I have one brother, as you know, Stanislao, Stanley Provenza. And he and I were always very close growing up. I was always a little sister. He's 6 years older than I. And he and his buddies would include me in things. They'd go bike riding, put me on the handlebars of a bike, and away we'd go. And I was just always included in some of their things. He was never neglectful of me. So we had a lot of fun, and he was quite an ideal to me. So there were just the two of us in our family. But it was a real nice time to grow up. Of course, it was just during and after the Depression. We didn't have a lot of money, but we made ourselves so happy. Seems simple things, popping popcorn, playing games, lying on the lawn looking at the clouds, just simple things made our lives so happy. And I'd spend my summers, there were two girls that come up from Pueblo. Their grandmother lived across from us. And we just have more fun, just doing crazy things. I'm sorry our children today can't do the simple things we used to do. Of course, a great deal of my time was spent swimming. I loved to swim. I literally grew up in this pool. And
do you remember when the pool was open?
Yes, I do. In fact, my uncle, mother's brother, worked on that pool. And that was in, oh my. I was a teenager, probably 36, 40, somewhere in there. I'll have to find out. You probably know. You'll run across it.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But it has always been a drawing point, and I just love to swim. And during the winter, ice skating was my big thing. We had two natural ponds here down by the river. There was an old shack there. We'd put our skates on and then go skating, go in and warm up at the little old stove.
Where was that?
It was behind, one of them was behind the ice house, which is somewhere in the vicinity of the Country Bounty, behind there. There was another one by Albright's house, which is the other side of Koenig's, down by the river.
The little river.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the little river, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's always the river.
Yeah.
But, of course, we had winters that were cold enough, and the ice would freeze for 3 to 4 months. So we had a lot of fun on the ice. And it was a great sport for me. I loved it. In fact, I liked all sports. Baseball, we'd get sandlot baseball going. And as a young girl, I had the opportunity to take piano lessons. I was probably a little too young to appreciate the wonderful teacher I had, who was Sister Amelia, a nun. And she was a very, very intelligent teacher, taught me a good background in music. But I was 6 years old and probably too young to appreciate it. But I certainly appreciate music now. I love it. Then I also was exposed to dancing lessons, tap and ballet and soft shoe and acrobats. I was a regular, you'd never know it now, but I'm a regular acrobat. So I was exposed to a lot of culture, and I've always enjoyed good culture, good music.
How about your schooling?
My schooling, oh boy. I went to Catholic school, 1 through 8 grades, And, of course, the nuns taught us. We were in a little schoolhouse at the side of the Catholic Church. It's now the Grange Hall. It was at the where the parking lot is in our Catholic Church.
And it was moved out.
It was moved out to
the town.
Uh-huh. And there were eight grades, and there were two grades in a room, and one teacher taught two grades. But I'll tell you, we learned a little discipline there, because when Sister was teaching the second grade, us first graders had to put our nose to the books and not pay attention to the second grade. So we had quite an education in the Catholic school. The nuns were very strict, and there was a lot of discipline, but there was also a lot of good education come out of that school. Then I went to high school in ninth grade, Salida High School. It was a different experience because we'd sort of been harbored, you know. But I enjoyed my high school years. We had the best class ever. And there were many things I worked on. Homecoming floats, and I was officer a few years in different organizations. I belonged to Dramatics Club, French Club, just all kinds of... There was a girl reserve at that time, and I happened to end up being secretary of the senior class. And surprisingly enough, our class gets together every 5 years for a reunion.
It still does.
It still does. We'll see what happens in three more years. Our last one was in 02. Mm-hmm.
About how many people were in your class?
Well, we started with 108, and then, of course, it was during the war years, 1942 was when I graduated. And some of the young boys had enlisted in the Army, so I think we ended up with 92. And at that time, that was the biggest class that ever graduated from high school. So we were... It was a big class, but we were a close class, and we still are. In fact, I had a classmate visit me a couple of weeks ago, and we just have always been close. So I was happy about my school years, the whole thing. You look back on it and appreciate what you've had.
You bet. Who was the superintendent of school?
L.A. Barrett.
Uh-huh. And were there teachers that you were particularly fond of?
I liked Miss Scott, who was an English teacher. I loved math, but I didn't particularly care for the math teacher. And let's see, who was my favorite? I think Miss Scott might have been an English teacher, because I liked.
And you graduated in 42.
1942.
Mm-hmm. Did you go on to any other training?
No, I didn't. I didn't have the opportunity. And right out of school, I worked at Woolworths for a little while, which I hated. Then one day, Mrs. Alexander, who owned Alexander's Drug and Jewelry Store, saw me on the street and said, "Would you like to come to work for me?" Boy, I took the opportunity right off. And she was a sweet little lady. Her husband had been mayor of the town at one time, and he was a druggist, and at that time he was deceased when I went to work for Mrs. Alexander. And I learned a great deal from her. She also, she was a little woman, but boy was she feisty. And she knew her business of ours. We had precious jewelry, and I learned a lot in the drugstore business. Then Mr. Long bought her out, and I worked for him for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. But you've already told us you were going to quit and go get married when your mother took your job.
Oh, I know it.
Who was this husband?
Pardon?
Who was this husband of yours?
My husband was a wonderful man. Robert Santo Ferrero, just plain old Bob. He was a very strong... He always worked out with weights. Not only was he strong physically, but mentally. And he was born in Salida also.
And who were his parents?
His parents were Ralph and Palma Ferraro. Like I told you before, his dad was a tailor. And our our families somehow were friends the whole time. There were five children in the Bob's family. And I was always Stan's little sister because he and Stan were friends. He'd come in and tease me, and I'd just want to kill him, you know. Then he went to the service in 1942, I believe. And he served in the South Pacific.
In what branch of the service?
In the Marines, the 1st Division. So he saw hand-to-hand fighting in in the South Pacific. And it was quite a hard time for him, I'm sure. We weren't attached at all then. I was still Stan's little sister. Well, then I grew up, and one time he had come home on furlough, and Mother and I were walking to church, and he stood on the corner and waited for us because Mother was his godmother. The family were always good friends. So, of course, I had high heels on and a neat little dress, and I was classy then. Boy, his eyes popped out. And then when he came home, when he was discharged from the Army, he and Stan pallied up again. And one day he got real courageous and asked me for a date. And it went on from there.
Great.
Yeah, I was so so proud to have him as a husband. His strength of spirit really, really helped me through life.
When were you married?
We were married in 1947 at St. Joseph's Church. Of course, I was baptized there, and everything happens at St. Joseph's Church.
Sure.
Uh-huh. So I've been a part of this community forever. 80 years, of course. And Bob was a very definite person about his what he thought and liked, and you knew where you stood with him all the time. So I was really, really, really privileged to have him as my husband and as the father of my children.
And what did he do in the community?
When he came home from the service, we bought the outdoor billboard business. At that time, it was a very good business. We could put billboards even on scenic areas. So we had several billboards, and he posted them once a month for advertisers, national advertisers throughout. And it was a very lucrative business until Lady Bird came along and decided they didn't belong in the scenic areas. So we were out of business.
Now, Lady Bird, better explain that.
Lady Bird was the Johnson's wife.
President Johnson's wife.
President Johnson's wife. So then we had a bit of a struggle for a while, but we managed to survive it, and everything went well because he worked part-time for Motorway, and we got along just fine. But prior to his service record, he was part owner of a liquor store, and then he was trained as a tailor from the age of 7, so he was a very accomplished tailor. However, he did not particularly care for the trade. But I must tell you that when my daughter, Michelle, got married, the second oldest girl, she wanted Daddy to make her wedding dress. So here he was, sitting on the edge of a table, sewing on lace and satin. People would come in and do a double take.
Well, not many people would do that, would they?
And he made his own suit, his wedding suit, and he made slacks and stuff for me, but he just didn't want to pursue the trade. So we built this house, Beth, in 1949 and moved in 1950. And at that time, on this block, 1300 block on J Street, this whole side was a vacant lot, and there maybe three houses across the street from us and maybe one up above us. So we were out in the desert. No.
In a long walk to town.
Long walk to town. But we were very happy to build this house and have it as our permanent dwelling place, of course. And raised seven children here.
And who were those children? Maybe you better tell
Tell you about the kids.
Yes.
All right. Our oldest was Samuel, Sam Ferraro. And he was born May 18th, 1948. And he presently lives in Bozeman. And he's a designer of precious jewelry. Very good designer. Michelle Marie Ferraro Winfield was born November 26, 1949, and she lives in Gallup, New Mexico. She and her husband have lived there for about 30 years. And they've been in the Indian jewelry business. So a very lucrative business for us. They stay busy, and they have two boys. One is pursuing a career in opera. The other young man is just ready to graduate from college in December. And then I think he'll take over the business, the jewelry business. Robert Arthur Ferraro is my son who lives here. And he was born November 4th, 1952. And he works as a carpenter, has worked that way for many years. And he has two lovely children and a stepdaughter, Mary Alice and Wesley. Mary Alice will be a senior next year, and Wesley will be a sophomore. He married Jean Mitchell. So they're, I'm glad to have them here in town. He's sort of a caregiver for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy Joel, when he enrolled in college, they put him in the girls' dorm. They thought Sandy was a girl. Then they saw the name Joel. I said, Sandy, why didn't you stay in that college, in that dorm? He was born April 5th, 1954, and he also lives in Bozeman. And somehow he ended up in real estate. Both the boys in Bozeman have lovely homes, and they're very pleased with that vicinity.
Sandy has a couple of girls.
Oh, he has two girls. Rachel, who is pursuing a career in physical therapy. She presently is in Phoenix, Arizona, establishing residence and working until she can get her last 2 years of physical therapy training. And then his youngest daughter is a sophomore in college. And she goes to Spokane. She's a Gonzaga. It's a Catholic college, very, very good college. So both girls are very, I think they're pursuing careers in medicine. And Sandy has been our very strict, down the straight down the road person. Everything has to go in a pattern. So the girls have had some pretty good training there. He married a lovely girl from Butte, Montana. Kathleen Frances Ferraro Jamison was born July 13th, 1955, and she presently is in Phoenix. Her husband works for the Federal Government Railroad division, and so that has taken them many places. She's lived in Salt Lake and in Albany and many different places. But presently, and she's always worked in the medical field, she's a secretary in one of the medical offices. So she's pursued that also. Cynthia Ann Ferraro South was born February 18th, 1959. She lives in Meridian, Idaho, which is just part of Boise. And she has three children. Audrina, who is 23, Cody, 22, and a daughter in high school still, who is 16. She presently works for an office at the state of Idaho. She has always been a very strong girl, and her children have always depended on her for everything, so she's had sort of a rough life. James Leo, born July 4th, 1962, and he presently lives in Gunnison, Almont, actually, at the fish hatchery, and he works for the state fish hatchery, Game and Fish. He has three lovely children and expecting a fourth. I said, Jimmy, how are you going to handle four kids? Well, how'd you handle seven? Okay. It was a little easier in those days, a little simpler. Taylor, who is 11, and Anna Marie, who is 7, and Leo, who is 6. No, I think Anna Marie just turned 8. So there are three lovely children, and he and Trudy have really spent a lot of time with their children and living out like they do. They're exposed to a lot of camping and outdoor things, and it's been very interesting for them living up there. Cold. And let's see, Beth, what else do you want to know?
How many grandchildren?
Oh, my,
have?
I have lots.
Well, we have them on the list here. We'll just give them the list. We won't have to talk.
No, I have 13 and one great grandson, and Jessica, who is Bobby's wife's daughter from a previous marriage. And I consider her a granddaughter, too. She lives in Denver, and she's a dispatcher there. So she's a very nice, lovely girl. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I have been with her since she was little, too. So she's part of the family also. But I have, like I say, many grandchildren.
Good.
And I have a hard time keeping track. But
you do better than I do.
Yeah. Did you want to know anything about my hobbies or anything?
Well, sure.
Well, Bob and I used to love golf. And we played for many years, just, I guess, as the family were growing up. And we decided we better quit the game and go camping and picnicking with our children. So we gave it up for a while, and then after the children were all gone, we took it up again and had more fun. Presently, I'm not real able to play golf, but I want to get back to it. And I enjoy knitting, embroidery, and crocheting. I love to play cards. I love to read. I tried watercolors, and I think I haven't a natural knack for things, but I'm going to pursue this art thing. I have to have challenges in my life. At this point, it's not easy not to have challenges. And with being alone now, Bob died in 1995. So I do need new challenges and something to keep me out of mischief or from getting bored. That picture over the fireplace is one.
All right, that's nice.
It's not excellent, but the people in the art class said you should have it framed. Well, okay.
It's yours.
It's mine. Mm-hmm. And let's see, is there something else you'd like to know? I know our town has changed considerably. I didn't work outside the home. I stayed home and raised my children. And there were always three meals on the table. And maybe in, let's see, I guess I worked at Cruz Beggs, which is a department was a department store, the only department store in Salida at that time. I think I worked there for 24 years until it closed up 4 years ago. I helped manage the store after Mr. McVeigh, who was the owner, died. And I did a lot of the buying, and it was just a very, very interesting job to me. I loved to dress people. It was very challenging, and we tried to choose things that people in our town could buy. So that, to me, was another good experience. And I have sold cosmetics for about 35 years.
What brand?
It's called Vanda Beauty Counselor. It isn't highly advertised, but those of us who are in the field should get out and do a little more. I used to be top-notch in the state, but anymore I'm, you slow down. but I still sell it, and it's interesting. I analyze skins and get people only in the treatment that they need. It's a very good product, so I felt confident about selling it. And as you know, the town has changed. Have you heard more about the town from people?
Well, tell us your opinions.
My opinion is, even after the Depression, we had wonderful stores. We had dress shops, 1, 2, 3, 4 dress shops, and Cruz Beggs, which was a dress shop, and a men's clothing, a department store. We had 2 shoe stores. We had shoe repair shops. We had tailor shops. It was just wonderful to go to town and be able to get whatever you wanted. And there were 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 grocery stores. Believe it or not, they all survived, and they, you know, they did, as far as I'm concerned, they were all busy. We had 3 drug stores. Actually, there was 4, but I don't remember Lippard's way back on Lower F Street. But I, like I say, I worked in Alexander's, and it had been established for many, many years. I think the only store that's left is Gamble's and the drugstore that I worked for. But we've seen a lot of changes, and with the railroad being taken from here, we just don't have any payroll or any industry, which is too bad. And there was a lot of mining in town around. And that was one of my husband's hobbies, was mining. So he had some property in Bonanza he mined for a while. Never very profitable, but it was his hobby. And let's see here, what else can I think of, Beth?
You talked about during the war.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything that Salida did to get organized to support the war effort?
Oh yes. Well, for one thing, on the side of Lawler's building, at that time it was Long's, they listed every person's name who was in the service. There was a wall, and every name was listed on that wall. Then, I don't know, I guess about 10 years ago it was erased, painted over. Mm-hmm. But and then we had a USO. Several of us belonged to the USO, and, you know, we had Camp Hale nearby. So we did, a lot of the people took these fellows in for dinner at times. And what was our main war effort? Of course, we always selling war bonds. And let me think, what else was our main effort? Beth, I don't have the best memory in the world, you know.
You're doing great. What about troop trains? I understand we had a few of those going through.
Oh, we had troop trains. Yes, we did. And we run down and meet the troop trains. And I can remember one gal had a convertible, and we'd, every time we knew a train was coming, we'd go down, and several of us would, you know, greet the boys, and so often they'd get off of the train and run up to a liquor store and get their refreshments and run back to the train. So, yeah, we had a lot of troop trains. And speaking of trains, now I'm off the subject again. We used to run special trains when the high school was winning their football games. We'd run special trains, and the stores in town would close. And I can remember going on these special trains to Pueblo and different places.
Were you in high school then?
I was in high school then, yeah. So, and so we've had a colorful life here. As simple as it is, it was colorful. And back to the war years. I can remember when Stan, my brother, enlisted. Mother was just devastated. And at that time, she and I and my aunt were running a luncheonette across from the high school. And it's a good thing we had that to keep us very busy.
What was that called?
We just called it the luncheonette. And it's that little gray house that's right across from the entrance of the high school. It was a luncheonette, and at that time, of course, the kids didn't have as much money as they have now, but we served them hamburgers, and we had a full fountain, and it was fun working behind the fountain. And that was during some of the war years, and Mother was devastated, but it's a good thing we had that. And let me think, what else? Anything else that you might be interested in?
Do you remember any illnesses that swept through town and just hit everybody? Flu or something like that.
Well, the flu was a little before my time, flu. And from what I understand, the girls down on the lower district there were the people who helped the flu people. Laura Evans, I'm sure you've heard about her. She was very generous to the people that were in need during the flu epidemic. Of course, that, like I said, was sort of before my time. But I just remember these stories. And let me think. Well, so much railroad. That was so interesting to just hear the trains and have them, several of them, go through. And our only means of transportation was the train. We just didn't have a car when I was growing up. So we'd go down to Pueblo or Denver on train number 2, which is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then there was always a passenger train come through late at night also, and we took that late night one a lot of times. So that was our means of transportation, and we had a neat little old railroad station, which is now gone. There was a Monte Cristo hotel there that was just gorgeous, and it was the hotel, and they served good meals and so forth. I don't remember it too well, but I remember hearing of it.
Also, a lot of train activity in town.
A lot of activity.
About how many trains went through town in a day?
Oh, my. That's hard to know. There were several freight trains and also two passenger trains. And I had an uncle who worked for the Rio Grande as a brakeman. And he,
who's that?
George Naples, my mother's brother. And he part-time would live with us. And he was here every third day on his trips back and forth to Denver. But he worked for the railroad for 50-some years. So he was Mr. Railroad himself. And these railroads were, the railroad people did a lot of partying. They like their parties and drinks. Mm-hmm. But they were a good group of men. Mm-hmm. Let me think here now. What else is interesting? Do you think of anything?
Well, you really covered things. I think you did a good job.
Oh, it was more personal, but I thought that's kind of
what
you wanted.
We want, yes. Uh-huh. Your personal reflections of growing up in Salida.
It was wonderful. It was just wonderful to grow up here in this town. Like I say, Beth, it was a simple life, but we made ourselves so happy in spite of the fact that maybe we didn't have a dime to go to the show sometimes. And we always had the theater down there on First.
And did it cost you a dime?
Cost a dime. And there were times we didn't have a dime to go.
I know.
And we wanted to keep up with the serials who ran every Saturday. And sometimes we'd stand in front of the theater, and Mr. Kelly and Mrs. Kelly, who owned the theater, would look at us. Why don't you go on in? Very nice, sweet people. And there were a lot of wonderful character people in town. We'd identify houses by the names of the people who lived there. I still do.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So, give me an example of that.
Well, I'd go down G Street. There's the McDonough house. There's the Heberer house. Oh, there's the Nevins house. They're all on, let's see, between 6th and 8th Street. Mm-hmm. Or 6th and 8th, 9th Street. So it was kind of neat. And then they had a women's club here years ago. And it... They always had their meetings on 7th. Let's see, 7th and G. It's that little house that's being remodeled now that has a little white fence around it. And that was their place to do their dancing and have their little concerts. And it was women's club. And my sister-in-law, Catherine Post, and myself, I'd play the piano and she'd sing on occasion. Once in a while we'd have a dance session there. But a lot of the very prominent women in town, Dr. Cookham's wife and Mrs. Alexander and all of them, pushed the fine arts and the dancing and so forth. So we've always had a cultural society as far as music goes.
And was that the same... Women's club that moved over to the library and did a lot to get that started.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. We had, you know, some really, well, people who built the town and made a good foundation as far as culture and business and everything went. It's changed now, as we all know, but we must go along with change. My big disappointment in Central Park there down on F Street, the park in the middle of town, always had the greatest bandstand right in the middle where the basketball court is now. A wonderful, wonderful bandstand. And we'd have band concerts. There was a city band every Thursday night, and there were more people gather around that park to hear the band. They'd play for an hour or so, just a good band. Now, there's a picture in one of the Columbine books, and my dad and Bob's dad were both in the band. Then later on, Bob was in it. But that bandstand should have been kept. Beth, I've always been interested in and active in our church affairs. As a young girl, we had a sodality, which was just young people in high school who got together and met. Well, we were always having joint meetings with the boys at the Abbey, which was very interesting, and we exchanged ideas and had a lot of religious background through this, plus some social things. Then later in life, we had an organization called the Daughters of Isabella, and I happened to be the second president of that. I also was involved in our altar society, and presently I'm a lector and a Eucharistic minister. I've always been active in many of the church activities, so it's been a very fulfilling thing to me to be in these church activities. And I guess our present church was built in 1919. Of course, that's the only church I remember. And it's had a few renovations and changes, which everything has. But it's very pleasant. It's been a consolation to me to have my religion.
We're talking about St. Joseph.
St. Joseph Catholic Church. And, of course, my foundation religion came from Mother. Her example was just terrific. And then going to Catholic school, I had an education you wouldn't believe in religion. And then when I married Bob, he was a very devout man. And I was very happy that he supported and went along. In fact, he led the way to our religion. And he was always good about saying prayers with the kids. So we were a very dedicated family to our religion.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, Beth, I don't know what else is interesting. I wish I could think of a particular something that...
You're doing great. I can tell you've done a lot of thinking about this. But well, if you're ready to quit, we'll quit.
Well, let's quit, because right. I don't know that I have anything else. Oh, I used to hike.
Go ahead. Tell about that.
Every Saturday, after I'd have the duties of cleaning the house at Mother's house, several of us would grab a lunch and run up to the hills hiking to Methodist or the site of Tenderfoot or up Tenderfoot. And that was our outing for Saturdays. But we looked forward to that. And my very best friend, Kathleen McNamara, is now a nun, and we're still in touch. So she and I and several of us would go hiking together. It was something we looked forward to every Saturday. I guess that's it, Ben.
What about the hunting? Any of the men in your family take up hunting?
Oh, my, yes. They lived for hunting. Bob was quite an outdoors person. He taught the boys to fish. He taught them to hunt. From the age 4, he'd be taking them places. He had to carry one of the little boys one time through the forest hunting. But they were all exposed to it, and even our Cindy, one of our girls, liked it too. So, yes, we were always outdoors people, and it seemed like every Sunday we'd run up to Bonanza, where the mining property was, and have a picnic. So those are the things that I think our children remember, just the simple things that we've done. But our picnics are very important.
Of course. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Beth.
Mm-hmm.